Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and joining me as always is NFL draft analyst and my good friend Ryan Roberts. Today, we're doing our NFL draft preview and plan for the New York Jets as they're trying to find a way back into the playoffs after they made the big blockbuster trade last year that blew up in their faces of going and getting Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm sure the priority should be protection, should be getting him weapons, which they were aggressive in signing two offensive tackles this offseason, which should help them. But in this year's draft, Ryan, they've got the 10th overall pick, the 72nd overall pick, so they don't have a second round pick. They have pick 111 in the fourth round, 135 in the fourth round, 185 in the sixth, 256 in the seventh, and 257 in the seventh. So not exactly a super sexy grouping, because you kind of need to get, I've said this before, and I think it's going to be a common theme, that if you're trying to go from being where you were last year into becoming a playoff team, and you're lacking those day two picks, you got to really hit a home run with that first round selection. You need a guy that's going to start and that's going to contribute. It feels like some of the past couple of drafts for them, especially kind of with Will McDonald, they haven't totally gotten all those guys into the mix completely yet. So you need somebody who's going to play. And I think the priority needs to be offense. They've put so much capital on the defensive side of the football. Makes sense with Robert Saleh. But you got to start adding to this damn offense that, frankly, kind of stinks.
I don't think it stinks, though. I think they didn't have a quarterback last year. I don't think it stinks on paper. I really don't. I actually think this is one of the more talented Jets rosters I've ever seen, personally. I don't know if...
Let me rephrase. It stunk last year.
Because of injuries.
And I think... Adding Mike Williams was a boost. And obviously, you're bringing back Aaron Rodgers. But continue your point.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just going to say is that there's not actually a ton of holes on the offense. There's one glaring one, in my opinion, and then we could be talking about some secondary pass catchers at some point as well in this podcast. But, I mean, for the most part, man, like you already mentioned it, the defense is ready to go. Like, the defense was a championship-level defense last year. You need to be more productive on offense, but I think a lot of that happened was as soon as Aaron Rodgers was hurt, you were derailed. And I think that they did do a good job of this offseason saying – we need to upgrade the offensive line. They went out and got Tyron Smith. They went out and got Morgan Moses. They went out and got John Simpson. Like, I still think that you can retool that offensive line a little bit and still strengthen it. But getting Mike Williams, a healthy Aaron Rodgers, hopefully, I think this team has a lot of upside to it, man. A lot of upside. I don't know about you, though, Joe, but there is one position and one player specifically at number 10 that I am absolutely obsessed with for the New York Jets.
I think there's I know who it is. I think it's the same one, right? It's Brock
Bowers.
Should I
write it down? Brock Bowers, no matter what, man, at 10. Bowers, no matter what. I think there's some legitimacy too, because I know that they love Talisa Fuanga. Like, they love him out of Oregon State, the offensive tackle, because of the flexibility he brings. Even if you're stable with Morgan Moses at right tackle, Fuanga could go in and compete with John Simpson day one to potentially be their starting left guard. I mean, from the jump, right? So, and if that happens, your offensive line suddenly went from a major weakness last year to an absolute strength. I mean, if they, let's say hypothetically, they drafted Fuanga and then they went from Tyron Smith, Fuanga, Joe Tippmann, Elijah Vera Tucker, and Morgan Moses. Like, that's a really good group, man, potentially, as long as everybody stays healthy. So there is some legitimacy, and I completely understand if they went with a guy like Talisa Fuanga at 10 if he was sitting there. But I'm telling you right now is that they have never had, I can't remember the last time the Jets had someone that was like Brock Bowers as a tight end offensive move weapon. That's my guy at 10. If he is there, take him, New York Jets, and don't second guess it.
We've been saying Talisi Fuaga's name for so long. Why did you suddenly change the pronunciation of his name?
we've been calling him a Talisi Fuanga, but apparently it's pronounced Talisi Fuanga. Apparently there's an N in there as well.
Since when?
Apparently, Fuaga, there's some weird thing with there be sounding like there's an N in there as well. So it's Fuanga, okay. Apparently.
All right. Well, apologies to Talisi
Fuanga.
I want to wait to get clarification on that. But
are you saying you don't trust me?
No. I try to be careful with the name stuff because, like, I've seen it blow up in people's faces. Like, I just want to be respectful of what his name is. So I'd like to check that. But you properly illustrated this roster. It's got, not only is it front to back defensively really strong, it's also got depth at a number of spots. They went and added Hassan Reddick. And again, like, I kind of question the philosophy of them drafting Will McDonald last year, but at the same time, that's really dangerous that they have all of these guys in the together. Mix to rotate, to get onto the field. It's very Baltimore Ravens-esque where you've got multiple guys that they don't all need to play. They don't all need to be on the field at the same time. In those pass rush situations, you're going to be really hard to keep up with, especially when their secondary, their defense is only getting better. I think offensively, the argument could be made for, as you talked about, adding an offensive lineman that's got versatility. Troy Fotanu is a name that we could be paying attention to, which is what they did with Elijah Vera Tucker a few years ago, where they drafted him. He was a tackle that moved into guard, and he's been a really good guard. That'd be a really fun opportunity for them. They did add Mike Williams. I'm still in the camp that I don't think Alan Lazard is very much more than a tertiary fourth option in a receiving room. He's significantly regressed last year. I like what you said though here with Brock Bowers. I find it really funny that Brock Bowers is not universally desired by Jets fans. I have seen on Twitter that there's two camps. It's really funny, and I kind of love it when fan bases do this, where there's one camp that's like, oh my God, we have to go get this guy. It's all in or nothing. We need to get Brock Bowers. He's going to fix our team. Our offense is going to be elite. We're going to be so hard to keep up with. This guy is ready to play right now. All of the things that make sense. And then on top of that, you pair him with Conklin, who's a pretty good blocker. That's a really good tight end duo. And then there's this other camp. They're like, I can't really understand why they don't like him. It's just typical fan overanalyzation. I understand if there's some apprehension because of the history of the tight end position. Who is the one guy, that one tight end that they drafted? I'm blanking on it. This was a while
ago. How long ago? It was a long time
ago. This was a while ago. They drafted and the fan base got really upset.
Kyle Brady? It was Kyle Brady, right?
I think it was Kyle Brady.
So I remember, I forget who they drafted. I forget who they drafted before, like, they drafted Kyle Brady before someone of high note, and that's why Jets fans were really pissed off. But Kyle Brady, I think, came out of Penn State, I think, if I remember correctly. He did come out of Penn State. But so he was drafted right before someone that I think Jets fans all wanted. And
it was Warren Sapp. I remember there was it was either an ESPN or an NFL Network documentary. I hate that they stopped making these. These were so freaking fun to watch. But Warren Sapp was the pick, was pick 12. So I believe that was who that they were the, if I remember correctly, that they were the most upset on missing out on.
It, obviously, that video has been kind of stood the test of time to Jets fans at the draft going, what? What are we talking about? Who the heck is Kyle Brady? Right. So, yeah. I mean, Joe, like, honestly, though, like, when have the Jets ever had a plus tight end? I can't think of one. I mean, I'm sure I'm overthinking someone that was pretty good in my lifetime, right? But I can't honestly think of one. I mean, they've been going through a revolving door for years, it seems. I mean, you mentioned Tyler Conklin. He was a guy that they had some hope for, you know, kind of recently. They just had CJ Uzoma too, right? Who was a guy that when they signed him from the Bengals, that was like, oh, he's going to be really good. And it was just like, he was fine, you know? And Jeremy Ruckert, the Long Island kid coming to play for the New York Jets, who hasn't done anything over his, who would have thought that one would happen, by the way. But I mean, they really need to, because I think the big thing about if you get Brock Bowers is I think it helps with two different areas that you already mentioned with. Not only does it give you a legitimate potential stud at tight end that you haven't had in years or ever in my lifetime anyway, but it also gives you a secondary pass catcher, because we could talk about it. And I think that it's legitimate that, like, at some point in this draft, trying to find a wide receiver three to match skill sets with Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, to find a tertiary, you know, option in the passing game, I think that's legitimate as well. And what's the great thing about Brock Bowers? He can provide both of those things, right? So I think it just makes so much sense. The marriage makes so much sense. I don't think it's a luxury. I think that he is a player that they need. They need a guy, because the way I look at it is this way. Garrett Wilson, inside out weapon, right? Great route runner, can play in the slot at times, can play outside, has vertical speed to kind of press outside as well. Mike Williams was a pure outside receiver, like just pure outside guy. They don't really have a big bodied guy who can be a mismatch weapon to the middle of the field. They don't really have that guy. And I think that's what Brock Bowers could potentially be. He could play slot. He could throw him into the boundary at times too if you wanted to, but he's an inside-oriented pass catcher that could be a difference maker for Aaron Rodgers.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I'm really having this not internal debate, but I'm trying to think, like, what's the best direction to turn to at pick 72. So, like, as I'm talking about, you don't have the second round pick where you can bounce around a little bit. I think that for them defensively, if they are going to address anything, I like the idea of either them adding another linebacker, adding another corner.
Oh, you don't need another linebacker. You don't need another linebacker, man.
Well, I'm just saying to just add to the mix. They could also add a safety. None of these guys are going to start. So I think that the ultimate priority should be with pick 72 would be evaluating which receivers are on the board. And I kind of look at some of the names that come to mind. Devontae Walker from UNC. Javon Baker from UCF is somebody who I think of. All different body types here. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky.
That'd be interesting, man, because he's kind of that inside yak type of dude, right? Like, not a very nuanced player, but if you get the ball in space, he can make some things happen. He'd be an interesting fit.
And then I also, there's two other guys that are much more slot speed threats, which, like, I look at this grouping, and you could argue that with the two larger body players and Alan Lazard and Mike Williams, that it would make sense to add somebody a little bit more compact and shiftier. I will throw into the mix Ricky Pearsall from Florida, who I really like. Yep. And then I never see any love for him, and I don't think he'll ever be like a number one receiver, but fits the needs specifically of what the Jets would be looking for at pick 72, or maybe it's who they go for at pick 111. Jermaine Burton from Alabama, I think that he's been very underappreciated in this class.
Yeah, well, I think the NFL is a little bit higher than some media are on Jermaine Burton, just kind of some, conversations I've had. But another name I would throw down later in the board, Joe, because I think they have I did a mock draft for them maybe like a week or two ago. So they have a fifth round pick, which is number 134. I give him Jacob Cowing from Arizona, which is kind of a similar guy to what you're talking about, a guy that's kind of dynamite after the catch, vertical speed. You know, he's not ever going to be a number one receiver on the next level, but a guy that does bring some speed and elusiveness and playmaking potential in space. Like, that's an interesting player. I threw out one guy that I did want to mention for 72, because I did not go pass catcher in my mock draft. I gave them Brock Bowers at number 10. So I went back to, remember what I was talking about, the ideology of a Talise Fuanga going number 10, because he's right tackle of the future, but also you could play him in a guard early on, and then you can get your best five on the field. I went that route at 72, and on the offensive line, I went with Karan Amangaji from Yale, who is kind of a similar player to Fuanga. Now, he's not nearly as good of a prospect as Fuanga is, but he is 6'5 plus, 320 plus pounds, length to play offensive tackle, foot quickness to play offensive tackle, but also he's a very powerful kid. So if he went inside early on in his career and played some guard, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked at all. So a guy like Karan Amangaji at pick 72, I think would make some sense, as long as the medicals are clear from the quad injury that he had that cost him the second half of the season. I think that he has kind of that inside out flexibility that you could also get out of Fuanga if you went with him at 10.
To pitch some defensive backs, specifically corners first, and we don't really talk a lot about Elijah Jones when we're bringing up some of these names that could be in the mix. He tested really well. I also, you know, I always come to the table if you're looking for a slot guy on day three. Daquan Hardy from Penn State is
That's your boy, man.
Look, in all seriousness.
Yep.
I understand that, like, I get overly excited about him, but in all seriousness, if you need a slot DB on day three, there's nobody else better than that. But those are just kind of to toss out a couple, like, mid to late day three with, man, they got a lot of seventh rounders. They've got no fifth round pick, and they've got a bunch of seventh rounders.
Can I give you a kid that I picked at 111 in the fourth round? And it's not the true slot that you're talking about with, like, a Daquan Hardy, but kind of a safety slot hybrid second level guy. Cole Bishop from Utah. I was literally just about to say,
like, I look at this defense and I feel like Cole Bishop, one, feels like a 49er, and two, feels like he would slide in nicely in the way that they their defensive approach.
I was trying to look at their depth chart. I believe, if I remember correctly, like, their safety position is just kind of okay. Like, it's not great. I know they were talking about trying to get, like, Ashton Davis back, and Ashton Davis is obviously a different player than what Cole Bishop would be, but they do need some safety depth. And I always, I think that, but regardless of however you view Cole Bishop as a safety, because I don't view him as a guy that's going to work from depth a ton, but regardless, getting a guy in the fourth round that could be a sub linebacker, a guy that could work on the second level, a guy that can play some overhang in certain situations, like, that guy's valuable, right? Like, that could be a valuable commodity to at least a sub package perspective defensively. So Cole Bishop, I think, would be a very interesting add for them somewhere on day three, if he's there in the fourth round. I mean, there's a possibility that he might go day two now. I mean, that's the opportunity that might be on the table, but regardless, I think he would be an interesting fit for the Jets. I've been
banging the table for Cole Bishop since the summer, and you're like, this guy's a bad athlete. You tried to get in my head.
Joe, you told me. I had a top 150 on him in the preseason. I never said he was a bad athlete. Hater. I said that he's a short area athlete. You disagree with that? That he's a short area athlete?
You're just a hater.
Can I give you a funny fit I gave to them in their last pick in the seventh round, Joe?
Yes.
They don't have a running back need at the top because Breece Hall is there. But I really like Carson Steele from UCLA, man. I know he's slow, but, like, physical, dependable, can block his butt off, good short area player. Carson Steele, man, to add a little bit of extra oomph power to that running back room behind Breece Hall.
Yeah.
We're talking about depth players at this point, man. We're talking about depth in, like, the seventh round.
Last position I would like to pitch. I would argue it would behoove them with the sixth round pick or one of the seventh round picks to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm looking at, like, who even would be on the radar for that.
Sam Hartman, baby.
Well, so that was who came to mind. It's like,
yeah.
In all seriousness, I think, like, say, picking someone like Sam Hartman on day three isn't a bad idea, because obviously Zach Wilson, like, the idea is to try.
What do they have? Tyrod Taylor? They have Tyrod Taylor now.
Yeah, they went and got Tyrod, which is good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a good backup. Yep.
To have, you need an option outside of Tyrod eventually, because, like, I mean, his age is up there. Mm-hmm. That when the floor falls out and something goes wrong, and you need somebody with a high floor. And, like, we've said this before, he has gotten perennial long time backup in the NFL written all over him in Sam Hartman. Yep. So, like, I mean, I would pitch him. That's my one pitch I'd throw out there.
You know who is an interesting one? Because, again, I think this roster is pretty good, Joe. Stay with me on this one. Pick 111 in the fourth round. If it happens that Spencer Rattler falls to pick 111, I think he would be a really good person to learn from Aaron Rodgers from an arm perspective.
I push back on – I understand that, but I push back because they only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 – they only have 7 picks.
And that's but it's a good roster, though.
It's a good roster, but I feel like if you're going to take a quarterback anywhere fourth round and up, next year's the year to do it. There is such a finite window of how long that they're going to be able to win. We saw how quickly Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year, which was hilariously quick.
And like then four on top plays of this, or something like that, right? Yeah. Some crazy number.
and on top of this, he's in his late 30s. So realistically, you've got 3 years. You've got to compare this to the window that was given to Tom Brady and the fact that they went all in, they put all the chips on the table, and it worked. They got to the Super Bowl. I would argue defensively, this team is better than the defense that the Buccaneers had when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. So in order for them to like really get there and to really finish the job, they need to take advantage of all of these picks. And that's why I brought up at the beginning, pick number 10 needs to be a guy that contributes early. He needs to contribute impactfully in the first 2 years. So I don't hate the idea of Spencer Rattler, and it wouldn't shock me if they didn't take a quarterback that early, or if they did take a quarterback that early. But I would argue that it does not make a ton of sense for them to try and go with developmental guy that would sit and learn and that could maybe take over or just ends up being a backup. They don't have enough picks to do that.
That's fair. The other position I would throw out that is kind of an underrated need for them is that obviously they have Quinnen Williams as their three tech, right? Like he's a dynamic player inside. Right now, their potential starter at nose is Javon Kinlaw in a little bit of a reclamation project. Yeah. And I'm just not there with Javon, man. He gets hurt and he's just not very good overall. So if they want to go after a mid-round guy like a Dwayne Carter, or if Mason Smith falls a little bit because of some of the work ethic issues that are kind of around him, like that would be a guy that's a good target at some point, right? Because that size inside is still very valuable, especially when you have Quinnen Williams next to you, especially when you have Hassan Reddick outside, especially when you have Jermaine Johnson, and then you have Will McDonald coming off the bench as well. Like that's a lot of talent around you. You just need a guy that's able to really play the point of attack like a Dwayne Carter, like a Mason Smith. Someone in that vein would be valuable for this defense, I think, too.
Yeah, Mason Smith or Keith Randolph or Gabe Hall are like three guys
Randolph would be a good one. That's a good call. Yeah.
That 49ers, Jets, defensive tackle prototype. If you notice, a lot of those one techs that they use, they're tall, they're long, they're thick. They're not really the low to the ground type. Like, not even just their, you know, their one techs that and the noses that they use. We've seen an affinity for those types of guys. So those all make a lot of sense for Sal.
Because they are a 3-4 team by trade, but they play a lot of 4-man now, right? So having that length inside allows you to be able to rotate between 4 and 3-man fronts a lot, right? Like that length is obviously very valuable. So good call. Good call there.
Super Bowl or bust for the Jets. Folks, drop a comment below. Let us know what you think. If you think we missed somebody, let us know in the comments. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Leave us a 5-star review if you're tuning in on podcasts. And we're going to be back with more later on in the week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.